So I've been bouncing around all week, and I was in the Bay Area Monday, Tuesday to film this great panel with the Warriors at the Chase Center for Women's History Month. It's a sort of women's empowerment circle with a handful of really amazing ladies. And one of the things that came up during our conversation was this understanding of, for people of color and women, the way that the start disproportionately affects the progress. And for African-American people in America, I think it's pretty clear, right? You literally are starting from a point of being enslaved. And even after acquiring freedom, there's redlining, there's you know, issues with anything from housing discrimination to job discrimination to racism to banks to everything, right? So as you are trying to make your way through the world, you are starting later at a disadvantage, not just from institutional wealth, but the ability to make current wealth. And that changes and affects the way that you move through the world.
The basic term
success
that black mothers use is you got to do twice the work to get half as much.
Right. Right. Which brings me to women, which is you got to do the same thing backwards in heels. Right. That's our version of that, is okay. This idea of also being at a disadvantage, and specifically with women's sports starting later. Right. Women weren't even allowed to have their own credit cards. So imagine what other, you know, you can't ride a horse. It'll affect your ability to have babies. You can't run a marathon, even though long distance running is actually one of the spaces where women are as close to men as almost any other sport in terms of ability. You know, having your own leagues, competing on a full court in basketball, right? Remember Sister Jean of Loyola was telling stories about her basketball days when it was three on a court, half court, and you didn't dribble. You just sort of passed and then ran and then moved. It's worth and necessary, it's context, to understand women's sports and women's sports leagues. And Enos Kanter wrote a story for Time. The athletes of the WNBA are fighting for equality. We in the NBA need to fight beside them. And Leija Curry, who was on the panel with me and is a tremendous player, just went to the Liberty and is, you know, involved in the NBA WNBA PA. And, you know, she talked about Leisha Clarendon, sorry, not Curry, Sadell Curry was there, talked about how, you know, they appreciate in the WNBA the support of the NBA. They understand it doesn't exist without David Stern and without the NBA. Right. But at some point, you have to stop being thankful for just having an opportunity. You have to start demanding what is going to allow that opportunity to succeed. And so I loved that Enos Kanter decided to write this, because one of the things he says right off the top is, my dream was to get to the NBA, and once I got there, all I really had to do was work hard and try to win. For the WNBA, your dream can be to get there, and then once you get there, you have to fight for equal pay, media portrayals, fair treatment, you know, you have to play in another league in the offseason, all these other things, these battles that they have to fight. They have to be spokespeople for the game and sell it while they're playing it. And I just think this, we're in Black History Month, we're about to be in Women's History Month, and those places where those two coincide, I think we need to talk more about the support that we offer each other because of that shared experience.
I think you're right. And I want to ask you a couple questions about this, Bang, because you're obviously a basketball player and you know what this is like. And number one, I guess my question to you is, do you think if when you had grown up and when you played, not to date anybody here, but when you played and you really thought this was something you could and, you know, should do you think your career choices would have been different if you'd been in an environment with this much support? That's a genuine question as somebody who I know was a serious athlete in high school and in college as well.
Well, yeah, so the WNBA did exist when I was coming up, but it was not established enough, and particularly in a family where my parents were not big sports fans, for me to really get that that was something you could aspire to. But even more applicable is the career that I'm in now, which is that when I was growing up, there was also no really women in sports broadcasting. There were
not
a couple.
Not to the same degree, right.
There were a couple, but I didn't – we always say at ESPNW, if you could see it, you could be it. It didn't even occur to me that you could work in sports, even as someone who was obsessed with Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Every gift I wanted was a book, a VHS, Michael Jordan candy, whatever. I watched every single game that the Bulls played in those 90s eras, and it didn't even occur to me for a second that I could do any job that was related to that. It was, oh, I love this. It's over here. And then I do other things for work. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I switched over from wanting to pursue comedy and acting to sports, when I thought, hey, wait a minute, I could take all this knowledge that I have and being a Division I athlete and all this and combine it with, you know, writing and entertainment, whatever else. So I do think it makes a massive difference. And so when people want to criticize where the WNBA or any other women's league is, they, first of all, have very short memories about how long it took for the men's leagues to be profitable. Right. You used to have to schedule NBA games as double headers after college. And
bro, they were on tape delay in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, come on.
Like when you go back and hear about the incredible games of guys like Wilt, like Chamberlain, they weren't even on TV. Like no one was there. Like it's crazy how we canonize and heroicize things that in the moment were not what we made them out to be. And then we use those to try to condemn something that's still growing.
Here's my second question to you, which is, by the way, you're exactly right about that whole point. It's totally unfair the time that we're using on. But do you think that because basketball is basketball and we are Americans, that there's a certain, like, tipping point that people just never take seriously because the average Joe Blow, more than any other sport, thinks they can play basketball. And so
yeah,
therefore they don't respect women
right.
playing it because that specific sport is so obviously easy to an idiot's mind when it's not.
Well, right, because you can pick up a ball and go play and think that you're doing great. I would love for everybody who thinks that they're really crushing it to have tape of their Y games so that they can see how many turnovers and terrible shots they take. They don't really process that in the moment they see themselves as being great. But I think even more so than just that, because we do see people willing to, digest and embrace little league baseball, right? Or Olympic sports they know nothing about because you tell the stories. It's media coverage and it's what we deem acceptable and what society has given us as palatable. So the WNBA specifically has a lot of women of color, a lot of queer women, a lot of LGBTQ people, and a lot of people who are maybe not stereotypically aesthetically pleasing, right? Because they're 6'5". They're
right.
strong.
Tremendous
women of color,
athletes.
Right, who are not girl next door in a tennis skirt, which is so much of what we do embrace. So I think there's a lot behind it, but I want to give props to Enes Kanter for writing this and for understanding, you know, Abby Wambach had an ESPY award alongside Kobe Bryant and Peyton Manning. They retired at the same time. They were all the greatest at what they did. And she looked across the stage and realized, I have to now go out and fight for a new job and something else to do with myself. And these guys are set for life. And we have spent our lives doing the exact same thing and achieving the exact same thing.
Also,
that's
quickly, Enes Kanter is not some non-guy, okay? He is out here going to the mat for things that matter. He is not some rando
in his home
dude dropping
in here.
Look
right.
up his history trying to save his family for his beliefs.